Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, Small Hinges Swing Big Doors. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed and revived by this powerful message.
2 Kings chapter 5. Thank you, Bishop. Verse 1. All right, thank you. Beginning at the first verse, the scripture reads, Now Naaman, captain of the Lord of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Well, go then, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment, because prophets like clothes. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away. And he said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all of the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, likened unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 13, and his servants came near. The maid had told him about the prophet. His wife had told him about the prophet. Even the king gave him permission to go see the prophet. All three of those people. He gets to the door of the prophet and he's insulted because the prophet didn't come out himself. So verse 13 says, and his servants came near and they And his servants came near. All of those great people. But his servants came near and spake unto him. He said, My father, if the prophet would have asked you to do something great, you know you would have done it. How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then, the next verse says, then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. Look to your neighbor on the right and say, neighbor, small hinges swing big doors. Turn to the other neighbor, say, neighbor, don't ever forget that small hinges swing big doors. Hallelujah. Naaman was a man that suffered from a disease that was called leprosy. Leprosy has long been one of the most feared diseases worldwide. Leprosy was not only physically painful, it was physically painful, but it was also emotionally painful because its victims were shunned by family and they were shunned by friends and they were rejected by society as a whole. Leprous people were people that were kicked to the curb, and they were often excluded from family and from fellowship. They were also forced to survive, and they were never allowed to use utensils that other people would use. And they were also forced to warn anybody that came near them that they had leprosy by hollering out, "Unclean, I'm unclean." And they were forbidden to enter into the temple. They couldn't even come to church to worship. They couldn't wash their hands in the springs or in the streams where other people would bathe. They couldn't touch anything, not a handrail, not a doorknob. They couldn't talk to people in a very close proximity. They couldn't eat or drink where people ate or drink, and they could never, absolutely ever reach down and touch a child. As they would beg for money or for alms, they would have to tie a bag on the end of a real long rope, and they would have to do that in order to keep anybody that was compassionate towards them or anybody that really cared about them at a safe distance while they contributed to their situation, because leprosy was a very feared and a highly dreaded disease. The king of Samaria had a captain whose name was Naaman, and Naaman was skillful. Don't ever underestimate Naaman. He was a skillful, brave, he was a very highly respected leader. However, there was one little word in that verse that said, but Naaman was leprous. Despite his giftedness and despite his talents and despite his ability, despite all of his charisma, despite his great sphere of influence, Naaman was a leader that has some issues. Will you just look at your neighbor and ask them, do you have issues too? They probably lied to you right there and said, no, not me. We all have issues. And yet somehow in the midst of all of his issues, in the middle of all of his leprosy and all of his pain, even though people had to keep their distance from him, people still continued to follow him passionately because they loved Naaman, because Naaman was not your ordinary leader. Naaman was extraordinary. He was an extraordinary leader. Nobody would have followed him like they followed him if he had not been an extraordinary leader, because nobody is interested, even if you are wonderfully well and physically put together and everything is okay. Nobody's interested in following anybody that's just ordinary or anybody that's just average. You wouldn't even be sitting in this church. It takes a person that is not just an average person to drive out here into the cornfield to sit and listen to somebody preach to them. We are a little bit out the way, but tell somebody we're getting ready to hit the main road. Oh yeah. And you're going to be glad that you checked into the Potter's house here when we get over there. But anyway, nobody follows a leader that is just average or ordinary. And I will tell you that God never intended for his leaders to be ordinary. He said, we are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its savor, then it is good for absolutely nothing. In other words, if God sprinkles you on something and you don't change what he sprinkled you on, then you are an ordinary, ineffective, savorless, leaderless leader. Somebody said, well, Pastor Brady, I never really considered myself to be a leader. Well, maybe you don't really know the definition of what being a leader is or what leadership is, because leadership is just simply having the ability to lead somebody else by your influence. Do you have influence over anybody? I said, do you have influence over anybody? Sure you do. Maybe you've never been the CEO of a company. Maybe you've never developed a staff. Maybe you've never built a corporation. Maybe you've never ran for a political office. Maybe you've never led a ministry, or maybe you've never even stood up here and preached a sermon. But if you have influenced a friend, or if you have taught a child, or if you ever threw a birthday party or organized an office party or a going away party, if you've ever ever directed a choir or if you've ever directed a band, then you, my friend, have got some kind of leadership inside of you. Lying somewhere deep within you are leadership skills, because leadership is really simple. Leadership means influence, and influence simply means leadership. And until you make that connection between the two, your misconception of leadership will hinder you from becoming the leader that God has meant for you to be. And if that is the case, you need to quickly change your concept of leadership so you can see yourself how God sees you, because it is possible that one of the greatest leaders to ever grace the planet Earth is hiding behind your misconception of leadership. See, many people never really develop the leader that is within them, simply because they think maybe they have a concept that says real leaders are born that way. And so since you weren't necessarily born that way, then you don't really acknowledge the gift of leadership that is locked up inside of you, which is a major misconception. And I can prove to you that by the scripture. The Bible said, let us make man in our image. And I could rest my case right there, because when you were made in his image, you've been made in the image and the likeness and the icon and the profile and the representation of God himself, the God that rules and super rules the entire universe, the God that sits high and looks low, the God that speaks, and when he speaks, everything is subject to him. He is the God that is so in control that the rain cannot fall without him, the wind cannot blow without his permission, the thunder can't clap without him. Oh, and you and I were created in his likeness. And if that is not good enough, let me take it a step further and say that God created Adam, he blessed Adam, and then he commanded Adam to rule. And because of that, deeply embedded within the spirit of man is the spirit of dominion. So you do have the ability to be a leader, because dominion means to rule and to influence and to govern and to direct and to preside over and to be the head of. All of those words that I just said are pregnant with the word leadership. Therefore, you got to understand that leaders are born leaders, but they're also made leaders. Either way, you're a leader. Tell somebody you're a leader. You're made, you're a born leader, but you're also a made leader. And I say you're not a made leader by just because you buy leadership books or you buy leadership CDs. No, I mean you're made by developing character, and you're made by developing conviction and integrity and influence. You see, books and classes and workshops and all of that kind of stuff, they will enhance the leader that is within you. But it is walking in character and integrity and in conviction that develops that leader that is within you, because I don't want to be under a leader that has no integrity. See, some things matter to me. They really matter to me. I don't care how good you preach, and I don't care how good you dress. If you ain't got no integrity, I ain't got time to sit under you. Does it matter to y'all? I said, does it matter? I don't care that you can move a crowd. Can you pay your bills on time? Woo! See, God is looking for men and for women that he can mold and that he can make and that he can establish as trusted, proven, and faithful, trustworthy leaders of the 21st century. And it is time for us to get it together, because the stage is about to turn, and some of the players that you see out front right now ain't gonna be out front forever. So we got to get it together right now. Tell somebody you got a short runway. Get it together. God is looking for men and women that will make a difference. Oh, holla, yes, we can. Say it again, yes, we can. Woo. We are chosen to make a difference. We are anointed to make a difference. We are born with that secret edge that enables us and empowers us to make a difference. We are not common. We are not average. We are not we're not ordinary people. That's why we can't live like average and common and ordinary people. It's beneath the dignity of who God made you to be. That's why we can't just sit in an average church. We tried. We wanted to. We wanted to be content. Mom and them were content. We just couldn't figure out why we couldn't be content. That's because you're not average. And there's nothing worse than trying to live an ordinary life. when you know you were born for so much more than ordinary. Help me up here. It will leave you frustrated. Oh God, help us. It'll make people call you troublemakers and all of that kind of stuff. Because when you're trying to fit into a normal mold, you find all kinds of conflicts happening in your life and personal conflicts. I'm not going to ask you if you ever had them, but I've had one or two or three. Nothing will challenge the leader inside of you like your own personal conflicts. Naaman was a great leader, but he had personal conflicts. His dilemma was he was a leader, but he had something eating away at him. Eating away his strength, eating away his power, eating away his peace, eating away his courage. Eating away his ability to lead the troops. For you see, leprosy was a flesh-eating disease. Leprosy was brutal. Leprosy would disfigure you. It would eat off your nose. It would eat off parts of your face. And so now, people that used to look to Naaman for direction, they can't look at him anymore because he's changing right before their eyes. Can't look to him like he is right now because things are falling off of him. I can't look at him now because I remember what he was like then. Ask somebody next to you, what's eating at you? Naaman was a leader who not only had things eating at him, but he was a leader who lost his nerve because leprosy will eat away until it attacks your nervous system. And when your nervous system is attacked, then you can be walking down a road full of rocks and all of a sudden lose a toe, but you don't know it because you can't feel it because you've lost your nerve. So he's a leader now that's insensitive. Woo. Lost so much on the way, along the way that he don't even know he lost it. Because he's lost touch, he is insensitive. Things are eating away at his. See, a leprous person becomes numb, and they can't feel nothing anymore, and they're deadened, and they're almost comatose, just kind of going through the motions of life. But they're comatose, just kind of going through the motions of ministry, through the motions of motherhood, through the motions of marriage. But they're comatose. You really should be feeling it, but whatever it is that is eating at you, it has left you withdrawn and indifferent and disfigured and robotic. Naaman was dealing with some stuff. His personal conflicts was challenging his leadership ability. And had he been an ordinary leader, Naaman would have threw in the towel a long time ago. But Naaman was not ordinary. He was a man that understood that if you're going to be in leadership, you got to first be under leadership. Oh, I love that. If that's the only thing you hear me say today, please make sure that you hear me say it. If you're going to be in leadership, you got to be under leadership. You've got to have the ability. If you're going to lead, you first got to have the ability to follow. See, one of the requirements to becoming a great leader is having the ability to not only teach, but to be teachable yourself. Not just be able to inform others, but be able to be informed, to guide and to be guided, to be served and still be willing to serve somebody else. Because everybody's got to have somebody to serve. The last thing that you ever want to do is to get out of touch with the ability to serve. Because if you're ever going to be great in the kingdom, you got to be a servant. See, as long as you as a leader stay in touch with servitude, then people that are serving you will feel safe serving you. Oh, I'm telling you, y'all don't have to say amen, but it's okay. If you've been in church for more than a minute, you know what I'm talking about right here. See, if you ever lose your spirit of servitude, then leadership becomes dictatorship, and nobody wants to follow a dictator. Nobody wants to follow a dictator. So when you lose touch with serving, you forget what it is like to be the other person, and you become overbearing, and you become inconsiderate, and you become unfair and insensitive, and you start taking advantage here and manipulating over there. Oh, and then next thing you know, you turn around to see where all your followers are there, and they're not there because you are not nice anymore, and you don't care about people anymore. I don't care what you know. Before I care about what you know, I want to know how much you care. And so what happens, I'm going to help everybody in this room on one level or another today. When leadership becomes dictatorship, you lose your influence. Hear me today. I'm helping you because I'm your pastor, and I love you. And on every sphere of life, I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if you're just mama at home with your kids. I don't care if you're a deacon, an elder, a preacher, a pastor, whoever you are. We can all suck great truths out of this message here today. When leaders lose the spirit of servitude, then they lose their influence. When leaders maintain a spirit of servitude, it keeps you balanced. Tell somebody, don't lose your balance. Especially if you're sitting next to somebody who looks important, just tap them real lightly and say, don't lose your balance. You know why? Because unbalanced people are prone to fall. Unbalanced people are prone to hurt themselves and then possibly hurt other people that are around them. So while it is true that every son needs to have a father, it is also true that every father needs to be somebody's son. And we are so blessed under this ministry. As big and as great as our bishop is, he's touched the world. He's touched the saved, the unsaved. At the end of the day, you can watch him giving honor to Bishop Watkins because that is his father. And if he's going to serve somebody, you know we better serve somebody. Because it's not until you learn how to take orders that you're really qualified to give them. How are you, if you can't take correction, how are you gonna stand up and give correction? See, what happens when the hand that holds the rod of correction has never been able to take correction? It's just a matter of time until that rod of correction becomes a rod of abuse. And once people realize that the hand that should be guiding them has now begun abusing them, they run away because nobody wants to be abused by the hand that they're supposed to be being led by. Oh, I gotta tell you, I got a problem telling somebody yes that I know ain't never said yes a day in their life. Everybody needs somebody to submit to. Tell your neighbor, even you. I'm not talking about tyranny. And I'm not talking about domination. I'm not talking about oppression. I'm not talking about a controlling, manipulating spirit. I am talking about everybody ought to find somebody that they don't mind changing hats and saying, how can I help you today? Everybody. Everybody needs somebody in their life that can help them see their way out of the forest of confusion from time to time. Everybody needs somebody in their life who you know just cares about you. Somebody who's got your best interest at heart. Somebody, because of what they've been through and where they stumbled and where they failed and where they made a mistake, they are qualified to point out your pitfalls and say, hey, don't go down that road. I'm telling you, that's going to mess you up right there. Oh, I know you're grown and you're a big old man and you're a big old woman by yourself, but everybody, even grown men and grown women, need somebody that they can turn to and pour their heart out and seek counsel from, because sometimes I don't care how grown you are, you just don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, you better holler and ask for some help. You better stop and find somebody that does know what to do. Because if you don't, you're going to be like the children of Israel, going around the same circle for 40 years and dying without ever seeing the promises of God made manifest in our lives. So we need somebody to submit ourselves to humble ourselves to. and to holler for help. You can't holler at everybody. Be careful. But you got to holler at somebody before we fool around and miss our destiny. Serving is submitting, and submitting is liberating. I'm going to say that again. Serving is submitting, and submitting is liberating. Naaman was a captain. That ain't nothing to poke fun at. He was a captain. But he also knew how to serve a king. And if the truth be told, the reason he got promoted to being a captain was probably because of the way that he served the king. See, when if you think about it, when Jesus wanted to teach his disciples about greatness, he didn't call them and say, come on, go with me to my next crusade. I'm going to show you how to heal the sick. I'm going to show you how to pull the leper. I'm going to show you how to deliver people. I'm going to show you how to open the blinded eyes. I'm going to show you. Come on, watch me. Come on, come on. Let's walk in here like a big posse. I'm going to show you how to do all of these great things. He didn't do any of that. When he wanted to teach them about greatness, he reached down and he picked up a towel. And he washed their feet. When he wanted to talk to them about greatness, he showed them servitude. Because if you want to be a great leader, you first got to be a great servant. And whatsoever your hands find to do, don't wait on nobody else to find it for you. If your hands find it, your hands ought to fix it. If your hands, if you walk out of here and see a piece of paper in the floor, don't say, man, they ought to clean up this church. Pick up that paper. Every man that Jesus called to walk with him was a busy man. I'm telling you, every last one of them. I didn't say lazy man. I said every last one of them was a busy man. And if you are one of those types of people who thinks that waiting on the Lord just means sitting back and watch everybody else do what you and your anointed self are too anointed to do, then you are going to be waiting a long time, because God calls busy people. He didn't say wait on it. He said find it. Whatever your hands find, that means come upon it, discover it, ascertain it, encounter it, dig for it, and search for it. See, I'm going to tell you something that's profound right here. The difference between lazy people and busy people is lazy people wait for opportunities to find them, but busy people go out and find opportunities. Ask somebody, which one are you? I'm busy. That's what I am. I'm busy about the Father's business. So don't get mad at me if I can go to any restaurant today in this whole city and eat what I want to eat. Because while you were lazy, I was busy. The workman is worthy of his hire. The workman, not the lazy man. The workman. See, lazy is a spirit. I said lazy is a spirit. It is a spirit. It'll control the way you think. It'll control what you do. You ought to lay hands on yourself and say, hey ho, lazy, you got to go. Tell somebody, cast it out. Cast it out.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message entitled Small Hinges Swing Big Doors, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 1-888-CHERYL-8. Again, thanks for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.